As we continue in the Gospel of John, we're in chapter 14, and last week we did chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. Today we do verses 12 through 31, and next week we will also do verses 12 through 31 and focus on a different aspect of the Holy Spirit. It's a great passage dealing with the Holy Spirit, and there's a lot for us to learn that is here. Next week, we'll look at the Spirit of Truth. Today we're looking at the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit and what that means for us. It's important for us to know as much as we can about God, and that includes knowing about the Holy Spirit, but not just head knowledge. It's important for us to have heart knowledge or experiential knowledge, for us to experience the Holy Spirit, to rely upon the Holy Spirit. And so that is the hope today. As we look at Jesus' words here, what he's saying to his disciples, that we would grow in knowledge in our minds and in our hearts. So we come to God's word. Let's again be in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word, which gives to us your truth, which gives us life. We ask that you would open up our minds and our hearts. Reveal yourself to us in fresh ways, for we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'd encourage you to follow along in the Bibles that are there or in your own Bibles, John 14, starting at verse 12. This is Jesus who is speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Well, this passage, I think, is an important one for us, not just because it teaches us about the Holy Spirit, but there is a beautiful witness to the nature of God that is here. that we affirm as the Trinity or the triune nature of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that is revealed here in this passage. And it's in seed form. We find the doctrine of the Trinity as we put together different parts of Scripture, but we see it here. But we begin first with our call to believe in and love Jesus. It's what he calls us to do. Believe in me, says, whoever believes in me will do these great works. We back it up a little bit to the beginning of chapter 14, and he says, believe in God, believe also in me. So we're looking at this condition of faith that is there for everything else to take place. We come, we believe, we put our trust in Jesus, all who he is, his integrity, his works. So we trust in Jesus, and Jesus equates that with loving him. So then it says in several verses here that we're to love him. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And then down to verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So we have here the call to not only believe, but to love Jesus. And we love Jesus by keeping his word, trusting in the integrity of all that he has said, and obeying him. That's what it is to love Jesus. And it's not just the obedience of our works, but of our hearts. Our hearts are vitally important as we believe in Jesus and we love Jesus. So we come to love him. It's our call. It's the condition for receiving all that God has for us. And what God has for us in this passage is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is teaching something new to them about the Holy Spirit. They believe in the Holy Spirit. We find reference to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. It's not a new teaching that the Spirit exists, but it is new revelation about the nature of the Spirit. And so we come to look at this. Beginning with verse 16, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So we're just going to start and just take some words here one at a time and look at this Holy Spirit who is coming to us, because he says this helper that will be with you is even, it's the Spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit is coming. And Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give another helper. So it implies there's already a helper that's there, and that is Jesus. So Jesus is the first helper that God has sent. Now, the word helper can be translated in a variety of ways. Helper is a good translation. Comforter is another good translation. Or advocate, someone who is an advocate for us. So we look at this, another person who is coming, who is the helper, the advocate, the comforter. In 1 John, I use this for the prayer of confession. He says, my little children, I'm writing to you these things so that you may not sin. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So John is using the same word, advocate, that is translated as helper in the Gospel of John. Same word in the Greek. And it's the idea of someone who is there on our behalf, to advocate for our needs, to help us, to give us comfort, whatever is there. So first Jesus, now the Holy Spirit, who will be our helper. And he says that he will ask the Father will send this helper. But it's at Jesus' request. And we see the beauty of the Trinity that's here. So verse 16, Jesus speaking, I will ask the Father. So we have the Son and the Father, and he will send another helper, and the Holy Spirit. So all just in that one sentence is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In verse 26, it says, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So not only does Jesus ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit, but the Father then sends the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Now, this is important because when we look at other teachings about the Holy Spirit, we see different names attached to it. In Romans 8, that Lonnie read earlier, in Romans 8, verse 9, it talks about, this uses in the same sentence, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. The same thing. So referring to the Holy Spirit, we can say the Spirit of God the Father, the Spirit of Christ, Jesus the Son. In Galatians 4, says, Paul writes, because you are sons of God, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. So the Spirit, God sends the Spirit of his Son. So we have the Holy Spirit as referenced as being the Spirit of God the Father, the Spirit of the Son. Jesus asked the Father to send the Spirit, and the Spirit sends, the Father sends the Spirit in Jesus' name. Our mysterious God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We try to piece this together. And it's over some of this type of teaching here that we find a division in theology in the East and the West. Now, the East being the Eastern Orthodox Church, and the West being everything else, the Roman Catholic Church, Protestantism. And so in the East, they hold to only the original part of the Nicene Creed, where it talked about the Holy Spirit, and these are kind of the deeper things of theology, but the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. And that is something that we find expressed in Scripture. It's there in 1 Peter, that the Holy Spirit comes from, proceeds from the Father. But years later, as the church wrestled with who is the Holy Spirit, what is the relationship of the Spirit with the Father and the Son, they looked at passages like this in John 14, where, again, Jesus asked the Father to send the Spirit. The Father sends the Spirit in Jesus' name. We see other places where the Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Christ. And so what was added into the Nicene Creed is that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. But the East did not accept that. Part of it has to do with language. And language can be a barrier in the nuances of meaning. But what's important is both the East and the West affirm the Trinity and affirm that the Father is the primary source of all things. And so we have the Son and the Spirit coming from the Father. There's just the nuance of exactly how the Spirit comes is different. But for us to see here the beauty of the Spirit and relationship to the Father and the Son is important. And coming back and realizing that this Spirit is our helper. See, this is where the rubber meets the road. Who is the Holy Spirit for us? The Spirit is our advocate, our comforter, our helper. And then in verse 16, it continues that this helper will be with us forever. Now, if the Spirit is with us forever, it is also bearing witness to the divinity of the Holy Spirit, the eternity aspect. The Spirit is eternal, therefore the Spirit is God. And the Spirit is with us forever. The Spirit doesn't depart. That's the good news. Jesus has given the Spirit. The Spirit is here. God is not going to say, I'm fed up with you. I'm taking my Holy Spirit away. So the Spirit is with us forever. And then the Spirit, in verse 17, it says, dwells with us and will be in us. We believe that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, dwells within us. It is the Spirit who works. We can say it is in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls. The Spirit is the one who is there to take the truth of God's Word, because it's inspired by God, which literally means the word inspired, God breathed. And the word breath and spirit are the same word in the Greek language. The Spirit takes the words of Scripture and applies them to us so that they come alive. The meaning is clear. The experience of God becomes real. So we need the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born of the Spirit. We have to be born of the Spirit. And so the Spirit dwells within us when we are born again, makes Scripture come alive, testifies to us about truth, about righteousness, about our sin. The Spirit does so many things, but the Spirit dwells within us. And because of that, we receive so many benefits of the Holy Spirit. Now, this passage does not have all the benefits of the Spirit. We're not going to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we're touching on some different elements here that are important for us to know, to experience, to live each day. The first has to do with, through the Holy Spirit, we have union with Christ and the Father. This is important, not just for ongoing living each day, but the fact that we have union with Christ is what guarantees our salvation. Without union with Christ, then his sacrifice on the cross doesn't apply to us. But through faith, through the Holy Spirit, being born again of the Spirit, we have union with Christ and the Father. Verse 20 says, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. There is a union that takes place, that God allows us to be brought up into union with him, the Father and the Son. And that is through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So the Spirit is active with that. In verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So we can talk about our Christ's home, God's home, is experienced through the Holy Spirit. We become a part of that. They come and make a home with us. The reality of the Spirit in our lives is important. We cannot neglect the Holy Spirit in our prayers, in our need for God each day, our expression of that. So we need to cry out for the Holy Spirit to come and to dwell within us, to help us experience that blessed union with God the Father and God the Son. And in that we find also, as I mentioned, the guarantee of our salvation because of our union with God. Another benefit of the Holy Spirit is the expression of the love of Christ and the love of the Father. So verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. How does he manifest himself to us? Through the Holy Spirit. It's the context of the passage. How do we experience the love of God the Father and God the Son? Through the Holy Spirit. I believe that what we experience, the love of God, is the love that the Father has for the Son. As the Father perfectly delights in the Son, and the Son perfectly delights in the Father, and they love each other with the full intensity of love and delight, that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what is given to us. So when we meditate on the love of God and the fact that God is loving us and has made his home with us, dwelling within us, we have union with him, that love is nothing less than the full love between the Father and the Son. So we call out for the Holy Spirit to help us to experience that love in deeper and deeper ways, and to believe it, to believe that love is for you. When we do a prayer of confession each Sunday, and I hope that we're doing prayers of confession every day because we need that, that we believe the assurance that comes with it. And that assurance is the fullness of God's love. God wants to pour out his love upon us. That's why we're here. We've received his love. And we want to thank him for that and praise him for that. And so that love is real. But there's something else that we also need. And we find that in verses 26 and 27, where he says, this is Jesus, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And so this peace is something that is deep and rich. The Hebrew word is shalom. It is not just an absence of violence or contention. It is complete rest. Everything is at peace. There is a fullness that is there through God's presence. It is something we will only experience completely in the age to come. In this life, we experience it, I think, in bits and pieces, because there is so much strife and contention in life, isn't there? Life is a struggle, and sin has its effect upon us, whether it's we're the ones who are sinning or other people, and we have to bear the effects of that sin. Life can be hard. And so we need peace. And we call out to God for peace. How does that peace come? It comes through the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, he's talking about the peace of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the Spirit of peace. And that is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, is creating peace within us. We need peace, don't we? Don't the burdens of life, the anxieties, the things that you're concerned most about, you start with your family. You're concerned about them and friends, and then just as you're looking at the world situation and the things that can impact us, wars, famine, school shootings, break-ins, muggings. I mean, we can go on and on. Things that can impact us around here and can create within us anxiety. If we watch the news, it will create a sense of unease because there's so much bad happening. And what is the solution to that? Jesus offers that to us, doesn't he? My peace I give to you. Not like the world can give, because it's something far deeper, because it is God through the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So we call out and we ask for this peace to come. And Jesus told his disciples, and he's telling us, I have asked the Father to send another helper, an advocate, a comforter, one who will give peace, the one who gives union with God, the Father and the Son. And we trust Jesus' word so that we can live this each day. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for asking the Father to send the Spirit. Father, thank you for sending your Spirit in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, thank you that you come and you dwell within us, creating the blessed union with God. Oh Lord, we call out and ask for deeper experiences of the Spirit, a deeper reliance upon who you are and what you do within us, so that all that we do are expressions of our thoughts, our words, our actions come forth from the fullness of your Spirit within us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.